Andres, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
First off, as we sit here right now, what are we looking at?
Well, there's the huge AMC movie theater complex in front of us, but you know that you have Starbucks, Barnes & Noble, Banana Republic, Old Navy, you name it, it's here.
Your documentary, you look beyond this into the history of the site. What used to be here? What was here basically before they built this shopping plaza?
Well, you know, right before the mall went in, there was a pigment factory here where they made pigments for paint. And it was a highly toxic industry where, you know, operating with very few regulations that, you know, just dumped tons of toxins into the soil. And this is, you know, being on the edge of the bay, it's a lot of bay mud. So those toxins have been seeping in for years and decades. But before the pigment plant, there was a pesticide plant. There was a lime and sulfur plant. There's been a ton of industry, not only all over Emeryville, but at this very specific spot.
So right underneath where we're sitting, this is all paved over for Bay Street for all these stores. So right where we're sitting underneath us, this used to be basically a toxic wasteland?
Toxic wasteland is a pretty good way to describe it. When folks came in here to work, they found over 50 different chemicals on this very site. And we're talking about lead and arsenic and volatile organic compounds and all kinds of nasty, nasty stuff that was all mixed up together. So all, you know, a lot of times you know how to deal with lead or you know how to deal with arsenic. What do you do when they're mixed up together? A lot of the workers had to wear essentially space suits and little, they called them crickets. They would hang around their neck and they would beep if hydrogen sulfide was in the area, because once you come in contact with that, you have to leave the area immediately. It can be fatal.
And so they started to try to clean it up in the 90s, is that right?
They had been working, the city of Emeryville had had their eyes on this site for a long time for redevelopment because of its location. And it was actually very hard for them to attract other retailers to the area to start a business so close to this toxic wasteland. So it took about 15 years of planning and development before the city of Emeryville was able to take over this piece of property and begin the very expensive cleanup.
I see. So they start, these construction workers start to clean up this site. They're wearing their spacesuits. They have their crickets to make sure they don't die. And what do they find under there? What did you find when you were making your documentary? What did they discover?
Well, they uncovered a piece of history that was the fact that this site on Shell Mound Street was the site of one of the largest Native American burial grounds in all of California, the Emeryville Shell Mound. It was very well known to archaeologists. It was a site that had been excavated in the early 20th century. The bulk of the shell mound, which was a huge mound, you know, to give you an idea, most people think it's a mound, it's the shells, how big could it be? Estimates were that it stood 60 feet high and was approximately the area of two football fields. So we're talking about a huge mass of earth made out of shells and bones. It was a virtual repository of everything that the native people here ate and how they lived. They found an entire whale skeleton here in the early 20s buried in there. And when it was finally bulldozed in 1924 to make way for this industry, 651 human burials were uncovered. So once they started breaking ground to build this mall, they were actually digging into the burial ground itself. And as it turns out, the area below ground was where the highest concentrations of burials were.
Who were the people who were buried here? Who were the people who lived here back before any of this redevelopment happened?
The native people of the San Francisco Bay Area are called today Ohlone people, which is basically a language group that stretched from the North Bay all the way down to Santa Cruz. We know that the Bay Area most likely was populated continuously for approximately 10,000 years since the last ice age, but the Ohlone people would have been inhabiting this specific spot in Emeryville for at least the last 3,000 years.
What kind of significance do the shell mounds have for them?
Well, they obviously had a lot of significance, or else they wouldn't have built so many of them. There were over 400 in the San Francisco Bay, and also the size indicates that it was something of importance. Emeryville was by far the largest. It was a huge site, but the top portion of it, you can imagine it was in the shape of a cone, was leveled in the late 1800s to make way for a dance pavilion. This whole area became known as Shell Mountain Park. It was an amusement park. There was rides here. There was carousels. There was a horse racetrack. There was a beer garden. It was the place to go on the weekend for San Franciscans trying to get out of the city.
So it had been used as potentially a holy place, certainly as a place where bodies were buried. That was leveled off to make an entertainment complex, and then industry moved in, you said, and there was a pigment factory, there was a pesticide factory. I mean, a lot of they had to clean this place up. So when they discovered that there were bodies here, when they discovered that there was remnants of graves here, what did they do? What did they do about finding that they were not only on top of a toxic dump, but they were also on top of a historic burial ground?
Well, in a lot of ways, that's where the story gets really interesting, because once the bodies were found, the city was reluctant to do something about it, although they were legally bound to do something. There was more or less a discovery phase where random sampling was done throughout the site to determine where the areas of high concentrations of burials were. And during that random sampling, they found 165 bodies. Again, emphasizing that was a random sample, so you would have to believe that there were many more bodies down there.
This was right here, under where they were planning on building this retail center?
Yeah, exactly, right here. In fact, one of the most telling documents that I got my hands on shows the kind of a floor plan of the mall with all the different stores, Victoria's Secret, Abercrombie, and in location to where burials were found. And Victoria's Secret, in the back part of the store towards the parking lot, at least 100 bodies were removed from that very specific site alone.
That's extraordinary. So what condition were these bones in when they came across them? I mean, were they affected at all by the history that followed?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. From what I've heard, because the toxicity, the toxic dumping was so haphazard, you would find pockets that were extremely, extremely toxic where the bones that had been contaminated there were eventually had to be incinerated because they themselves had become toxic. But some of the bones became rubbery. Some of the bones, you know, nobody wanted to touch them because they were so contaminated with an oozy goo, to quote one of the people working here. But then some of them were relatively intact. They hadn't been disturbed for thousands of years. They were underground, and there they were with all their possessions. Most of the stuff that they found included mortars and jewelry, necklaces made out of shells, these types of things.
So in the course of making your documentary, you spoke with a lot of the different people who would have some interest in this site, including developers, city managers, some of the Ohlone people who then live around this area still. So what were some of the things that people told you? What did the city manager think when this all became uncovered?
Well, if you talk to John Flores, the city manager of Emeryville, and you ask him about this project and how he feels everything went, he's very satisfied of the end result of the project. He sees it as, sure, there was history before, but the most recent history they were dealing with was this huge toxic site, which was not only impeding further development, but it was dangerous to people and their health. So they have now cleaned that up and now created a space where people can come and shop and eat and have a good time.
Has it been completely cleaned up? Is this, I mean, with a history of such a mix of toxic chemicals that all work on each other in potentially unknown ways, where obviously they were taking significant precautions to keep the construction workers safe, I mean, can you ever really completely clean up the toxicity here?
I think the easy answer to that is no, you can't. There's no way. And in fact, there were lots of situations where they actively didn't clean it up, either to try to do some sort of mediation with the Native Americans. If you understand that a lot of the same spots that were very sacred to the Native Americans were some of the same spots that were toxic. So when the Native Americans' goal was to keep the site intact, a lot of that meant keeping the toxicity intact.
The development company that created Bay Street is Madison Marquette, and Eric Holman spoke in the movie Shell Mound.
The respect that our company and the construction workers out here gave to the Native Americans on site who encountered any remains when that occurred. I don't know how many. I was really proud of the team that we had together and how that was handled. So, am I bothered? Is my conscience tormented by that? No, quite the opposite.
So then, who are some of the other people who had interesting stories or interesting perspectives whom you interviewed for your documentary?
Some of the more dramatic stories, I think, came from the archaeologists and the Native Americans, because they walked into the situation with something to lose, so to speak. They were there in a race against time trying to save the remains, either for scientific study or for spiritual reasons. One of the Native American women representing the Ohlone people, you know, one of the stories that she talks about in the piece is when she first walked onto the land, and you know, she was walking around, and you know, she just looks down on the ground and she sees some bones.
I got this overwhelming compulsion, even though I knew that the ground was toxic and that anything you touched there could contaminate you.
This is a clip from the documentary Shell Mound from Catherine Perez, an Ohlone descendant.
I couldn't help but bend over and pick up some bone frags. It was a jaw, actually, what it was. I picked it up, and I kind of dug a little hole, and I put them down, and I covered it up, and I said, forgive me.
So on any given day, there are families here, there are people shopping, there are people on dates going to the movie theaters or out to eat. They have no idea. A lot of them would have no idea about the history of the site. Is there anything here to signify the redevelopment of this from a toxic mixing pot, or for this place being an historically significant burial ground and spiritual site for Native Americans over millennia?
There's actually, they designed what they call the Memorialization Project, which is basically a little park that memorializes. Well, I'm going to take that back. It doesn't memorialize anything. It talks a little bit about the Native history of the Ohlone people. There's some granite pillars with some historical facts about the Native people, something you can get in a fourth grade textbook. There's a little fake mound that they've created, and they put in some Native species of grasses there. They tried to do something. It was part of the mediation that they were going to do something to remember the history. But my biggest problem with that little piece of the park that they call it, which is alongside Temescal Creek, is that it has no mention at all of the burials. It has no mention of the people who were buried here during this construction process. 300 people were taken out of the ground, and those 300 people were put back into the ground here at an undisclosed location, but they are here on site, and that's only the people that were found. So we can say for certainty that there's hundreds of people still buried here on this site, and there's nothing to remember them.
Andres Cedillo created the documentary Shell Mound. You can find out more information about the documentary, as well as the history of Bay Street, Emeryville, and the Ohlone people at the website www.shellmoundthemovie.com. Andres, thank you very much for sharing these stories with us.
Thanks for having me.